Ephesians chapter number 4. We'll begin reading in verse number 17 and read down through verse number 24. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so that ye have learned Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Let's go ahead and read another verse or two. It says, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry, sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place unto the devil. Tonight I want us to think upon the subject that is mentioned and given here in these verses concerning the walk of the child of God. And it uses the little phrase there, says the renewing of the mind. These verses tonight show us the contrast between what the Scripture calls the old man and the new man. We know the old man is that one that is bathed in the lust of the flesh. The old man is what we are before we come to know Jesus Christ. And when we have salvation, then we become a new creature or a new person in the Lord. And that spiritual man that has been renewed in his heart must continually be renewed in their mind to walk according to the things of the Lord. Now, the Scripture tells us that we're only saved one time. Our heart is only renewed one time. And that's when we trust Christ. He becomes our Savior. And we have a new walk with God. But the Scripture does also teach us that there is a continual renewing of the mind. That portion of our body that is directing the path of our lives, whatever our mind thinks, we end up usually doing that. And so Paul gives these Ephesian Christians the instruction that they are to renew the spirit of their mind. They are to walk not according to the old man, but according to the new man. We know that the Bible tells us that we are a natural man. For the Bible says, the natural man receiveth not the things of God. That's that lost old man. But there's also a new man, and that natural man becomes a spiritual man in the belief and trusting Christ as their Savior. Now, the natural man can only be natural. He can never be both. He cannot have one time one way and another time another. A natural man is lost until he is renewed in his heart. But the spiritual man has two natures. He still has the old nature to deal with, and we understand that fully because as a believer, we deal with the old man continually. That natural man receives not the things of the Lord, but it fights against the things of God. And so a spiritual man or a saved man still has his old nature, but he should be overshadowed and overcome by the new man or the spirit of the Lord. And the natural man cannot be a spiritual man, but a spiritual man can become and can be a carnal man, a carnal person. Carnal means worldly and not serving the Lord, but yet still understands salvation as eternal. Now in verses number 17 through 19 here tonight, Paul gives us and shows us the relationship between the natural man's walk and the natural man's mind. whatever his walk is has been directed by his mind. Sometimes it is in the scripture it's called his heart. You'll notice in verse number 17, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their minds." So Paul is dealing with the subject of the mind, that directive part of our body that makes everything work and makes it work right. But he tells them here as a Christian not to do like other Gentiles. Now, the church of Ephesus was a Gentile church. Probably had very few, if any, Jews in that church. And they were surrounded by all kind of ungodliness, and there they have been saved out of that. And so Paul is giving them instruction, don't let your mind go back to where it was. Don't walk as other Gentiles walk. And then he describes it as the vanity of their mind, or the emptiness of their mind. There's nothing there that would help them. There's nothing there that would encourage them in anything. The walk of a natural man is a walk of vanity and vexation. It's a walk of emptiness when it comes to the Lord. And so Paul shows here a relationship that they are not to yield over to the vanity or to the emptiness of their mind. Then in verse number 18, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their hearts. And so he's dealing with the vanity of their minds. He's dealing with the darkness of their heart or their mind. It deals with here the illumination that is not there. The scripture tells us that we can see the glorious light of the gospel. Everywhere God is, there is light. Everywhere Jesus is, there is light. There's no darkness at all found in him. But an individual that does not know the Lord, they have their minds in vanity, and they have their minds in darkness, and they walk not in the light or the illumination of the Lord. And they're in a perpetual state of darkness and not serving God. Then the scripture tells us here in verse number 19, who being past feeling. And so they are their minds have been so torn that they are no longer have any feelings, and they're given over to lasciviousness. That's a big word. It just simply means an inordinate lust of the flesh. Whatever it might desire, it goes after. And so these Gentiles that Paul is talking about, that they were once a part of, their minds are empty, their minds are in darkness, their minds are in ignorance. They receive not the things of the Lord because the natural man cannot discern spiritual truth and ungodliness. The natural man has no ability to understand anything that is spiritual other than hearing the gospel, trusting the Lord, and becoming a Christian. These three things, the vanity, the darkness, and the ignorance of their mind, is all a result of what their heart is. It's all a result of that old man or that old nature, their past feeling. And they're given over into those lustful thoughts of the heart, and they walk all to work all uncleanness with greediness. So here Paul describes the Gentiles. He describes those that they are no longer to walk after. They are to no longer follow the direction that they once were in. And the results of that is a heart that has been darkened, a heart that is no longer, that will not hear, and a heart that will not respond to the goodness of the Lord. But when salvation comes in, thank God he makes all things new. He tells us in verse number 20, "But ye have not so learned Christ." He said if you walk in these three issues of the vanity and the darkness and ignorance, that's not from the Lord. That's not from Christ. That's not from godliness. That's not from spiritual things. It comes from the natural man. He says, "But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation." Now, we've looked at that word conversation many times. It means lifestyle. The way you were is not the way you're supposed to be now. When you come to know Christ, you're a new creature. And so Paul says here, you're to put off those things concerning the former lifestyle or conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. So Paul describes the natural man. He describes what the world is all about tonight. Now the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8 and verse number 5, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh." It ought not be surprising to us that lost generations of people are living the way they live. That's their nature. They are living in the flesh. They mind the things of the flesh. They bring everything in with greediness and lustfulness and ungodliness, and they bring themselves up to a standard that they desire, but it is not the things and the standard of God. So those that are in the flesh or after the flesh, they take care of the flesh. They take care of those desires and lustful thoughts in their heart. So he says, those that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. In Romans chapter 8, verse 5, you have the two groups of people, saved and lost. Those that are lost, they take care of the flesh. They take care of only thing they know to take care of is who they are and how they think and what they desire and what they want. But you and I that are saved, Paul tells us here that if we're after the Spirit, we mind the things of the Spirit or spiritual things. And so there is a great conflict, there's a great struggle between the old man and the new man, or the old nature and the new nature. Verse 20 and 21, we find there is that understanding that the contrast is there, and that the philosophy and the teaching of this world is different than the teaching and the philosophy of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why so many times higher education, it's considered higher education, but they have no consideration of spiritual things because they're minding the things of the flesh. But we that are saved, thank God we have the Holy Spirit that lives within us, and that carnal mind is at enmity against God, and it's not subject to the laws of the Lord, and the Bible says neither can it be. So we that are saved have both the Word of God, we have it before us, and thank the Lord tonight we have the Spirit of God to help us. It would not do us any good to read the Bible if we didn't have the Holy Spirit to interpret it. It would not help us one bit to sit down and read a book of the Bible if we didn't have the Holy Spirit to give us spiritual understanding. That's why the Scripture says that the natural man does not receive spiritual things. They have no understanding. Really, the world doesn't even understand true love until they experience the true love of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is unconditional love that He showed to us. And the natural man, he may try to explain it. He may try to hold it into his life. But he really doesn't understand those things until he knows the things of the love of God. So we as a believer, we have the Word of God. We have the Spirit of God, and now we are taught of the Lord. We have the teaching of the Lord. And books are good, and I thank God for the books that I have, and I've tried to read them and study them, men that have gone far deeper into the Scriptures than I have, and it brings things to light, and it helps us. I thank the Lord for men and people that I have come in contact in my life that has instructed me and given me instruction in the Word of God. I had college professors that were wonderful, were great. When I went to Bible college, and they opened up so many avenues and so many ways of studying, and those are all well and good. But the best teacher we have is not some professor, not some teacher. The best teacher we have is the Holy Spirit that lives within us, because He'll never guide us wrong. Now, I had some teachers in college that I didn't agree with everything they said. I had some teachers in college that I agreed with a lot they said, but there was always somewhere I didn't agree with it. But I've never been in disagreement with the Holy Spirit, for He has always taught correctly and right. And He'll never lead a believer to do something that is contrary to the Word of God. One of the most troubling things that I see is when people say, well, the Lord led me to do this, and you know it's wrong. You know it is totally anti what the Scripture teaches. And that's why the Bible says we need to try the spirits to see whether they be of God. The devil has his workers, and they are there to deceive us. They are there. All they can do is deceive the child of God. They can never gain us back into their kingdom, but they can deceive us and make us non-effective in the work of the Lord. And so the Holy Spirit will never lead us contrary to His Word. That'd be like a parent teaching their children one thing and saying, well, I've taught you that, but you go do what you want to do. The Holy Spirit teaches us, He guides us, He directs us, and should be controlling us in this world. And we are taught of the Lord how to live. We're taught that we are a light in the darkness. Paul reveals here that what the Gentiles are. They live in darkness. Their mind no longer has not the illumination of the Lord. Their understanding is darkened. They're alienated. They're separated from the good things of God. And we have the Holy Spirit that brings us and puts us into a place of receiving the things of the Lord. And we do that by the renewing of the spirit of our mind. It is a daily process. It is a continual process. Between putting off the old man and putting on the new man is this thing called salvation. It happens immediately, and our mind is renewed immediately when we trust Jesus Christ. We see things differently. You and I tonight, as a Christian, I guarantee you, we have a different worldview of the lost world. We can look at the same things. We can listen to the same news, and we get two different versions of what's taking place. The world will say certain things are good, and it's happening for good and prosperity. And you and I, we sit back and we listen to the news and say, my goodness, that is totally wrong. And so we see the world through different eyes. Our minds have been renewed. Our eyes are seeing through the spiritual things that God gives us. And so tonight, just for a little while, we'll look at this thing of the mind. There's no way in one message you could do an in-depth study of what the Scripture says about the mind. The Lord has given us a part of our body we call the brain, and our mind functions when it functions properly. Everything works right. You can have brain surgery, and certain parts of the brain can be removed, and you can never function properly again. And maybe the speech would be affected, or the reasoning would be affected. I heard somebody the other day talked about somebody they knew had had surgery, brain surgery, and it had destroyed their ability to be able to do math. Because a certain part of our mind, our brain, takes care of that, and we're able to do that. And so when it's tampered with or removed, then our body doesn't function right. Everything in this body works according to what our mind tells it to do. This afternoon, we don't think about our heart beating. We don't say, well, now beat heart, beat heart. It just involuntarily does that. And it's supposed to do that. I'm glad we don't have to think about breathing. That's an involuntary action that our mind makes our body respond and to do. But there are some things that we do because we have our minds focused upon certain things, and then we are able to do that. Same way spiritually. The spiritual mind, or the mind of the child of God. And the Scripture tells us here that in these verses, it says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man. Now, in between the old man and the new man is the renewing of the spirit of our mind, and that's that salvation that comes to us. But then there is a daily walk with the Lord that we must continually renew our hearts and our minds. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the, what? Renewing of your mind. What will change us is a continual renewing of our lives. We are told here not to be conformed to what the world has. And Paul is dealing with the same subject matter here in the book of Ephesians. The Gentiles, the times past you walked according to the Gentiles, according to the course of this world. And now, and they were darkened by the god of this world. We had a message just a few weeks ago upon the god of this world. And so that god has a function that's a little g. The god of this world, of course, is, turn this one up, this one died. And the mind has to be renewed by the things of the Lord and by the working of the work of God and the Spirit of the Lord helping us, and not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by renewing, functioning over and over the mind that God has given us. Be you transformed by the renewing of that mind. And the reason for that is that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The only way we'll ever do the perfect will of God is our minds to be renewed, to be stationed and centered upon the things of the Lord as He teaches us, as He guides us, as He directs us in our personal walk with Him. And we are to renew our minds that we may prove or we show what the will of God is for our life. Well, I guess we could call it a complete makeover. We hear about that a lot. People have a complete makeover. Well, when you get saved, I'm so glad it's a complete makeover. Thank God He makes us a new creature. It's a makeover because up until that point, the world's philosophy has molded our minds. Be surprised. It's amazing how much influence the world has on the child of God. And much of the time, we don't even recognize it. Much of the time, it just is there so much and comes to us continually that we do not realize how that we are being molded after the things of the world, and we don't even want to be. And that's why we must renew our minds. That's why we must get into the Scripture. Sometimes our minds are darkened by the god of this world. He's not our God, but He's the god of this world. And the pressure He puts forth upon mankind affects the child of God. And so therefore, we sometimes think like the world thinks. It's amazing how that sometimes Christians think the way they think. Why they call themselves Christians and still certain things are okay. It's surprising how many Christians say it's okay to have abortion. Surprising how many Christians think everything in this lifestyle generation, it's okay. It's not okay. It's not right. And our minds have been influenced so much by the pressures of this world. If we do not renew our minds, then we'll think just like the world, and we'll see things just like the world does. The teacher now gives, as a child of God, the Holy Spirit, He looks at us as either saved or unsaved. The world looks at us and they give us a grade of an A, B, C, D, or F. I hear people asking, especially the news commentators, they'll ask somebody, so what kind of grade do you give so and so for their actions? And that's, oh, I'll give them a B, or I'll give them a D, or someone say, I'll give them an F. You see, they're looking at outward things that's taking place. But you and I tonight, we are a person is either saved or they're unsaved. And as a Christian, we are to be programmed to work after the things of the Lord. If we're not careful, you'll be surprised how many times people that are Christians accept lifestyles that are not according to the Word of God. They'll not accept the things that are true and right, and they'll use situation ethics. Well, I can do this because the situation makes it so. Well, we don't find that in the Word of God. The Scripture doesn't deal with situations. The Scripture deals with black and white, evil and good, righteousness, unrighteousness, holiness, unholiness, sin and not sin. And so we put categories to it. We say, well, I do this because, and then we'll give a lot of reasons, and we have so determined and thought about it so much, and we were conformed to the world so much that all of a sudden we say, it's okay to do that. when the Scripture very clearly tells us that it is not right. And so we must renew our minds, and we do that by the Word of God. Our minds have to be renewed or made over daily and weekly and monthly and yearly. Otherwise, we become conformed to this world. Be not conformed to this world, but be renewed or be transformed in the work of our life. So we find here that that our minds must be renewed. They must have a continual process. It's an amazing thing how many Christians that have been saved a long time, they're still just a babe in Christ. They don't know very much according to the Word of God. They're ignorant to certain things in the Scripture because they have not renewed their hearts and their minds. They've not studied. They've let somebody else do their study for them. They've let somebody else read their Scriptures for them. They've let somebody else do all the work for them, and they just go along and they feel good about the situation. They're saved. They know they're saved. But don't get me involved in the details of Christianity. Don't get me involved. I don't want to be a far way into this thing of Christianity. I'm okay with just being saved. Well, the Lord's not okay with us just being saved. He wants us to learn. He wants us to grow. He wants us to mature. He wants us to renew our minds, our hearts, so that we can be effective to those that are around us. So we must renew our mind. Number two, we must gird up what the Scripture says, the loins of our mind. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, therefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end of the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. To bind up, the word gird means to bind up or to protect. Weightlifters, or at least those that are very serious about it, they will wear a belt around their waist and sometimes straps around their legs to keep the strength and to keep everything where they can lift the weight without doing harm. Well, the Lord tells us we're to strengthen or we're to bind up the mind that He has given to us so that we can do the things that are true and right and holy. To be girt up means to be wrapped tightly in order to protect the heart or the mind, or in physically the body. A loose mind is one that tends to wander from the things of God. A mind that is not stayed upon the things of the Lord becomes a mind that is conformed to this world. And so we're to renew our minds, study, show ourselves approved, a workman unto God that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We are to study the Scriptures. We are to work in our minds to be renewed and strengthened and to learn. It's an enjoyable thing to see children learn. One week they can't do it, the next week they can do it because they've learned how to do it. Same thing spiritually. It's a great thing to learn how to trust the Lord. It's a great thing to learn how to live for the Lord. It's a wonderful thing to know that our hearts and our minds can be stayed upon God, strengthened in the Lord, girded in the loins of our minds, that we would be able to serve Him and to be about the business that He has given to us. Thirdly, according to Philippians chapter 2, we ought to pattern our minds after Christ. Philippians 2:5 said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." So we renew our minds. That's a daily activity. That's something we need to do continually. Then we strengthen our minds by a continual process of living for the Lord and studying the Word of God. Then we to have a pattern that we go by, and the greatest pattern that ever could be is the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, "Let this mind, this thought process, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." A mind of humility, a mind of obedience, a mind of service. And whatever you see the Lord doing, we ought to mimic that. We ought to take that and do the same thing. As a child mimics their elders, as those that are older, they will imitate everything that we do. We are to imitate what we know of the Lord. let this mind be in you. Philippians chapter 2, the whole chapter, speaks of the incarnation. It speaks of the obedience and the sacrifice that Christ made for us. He was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Let this mind be in you. He is able to give life where there was no life. Humility, or to be able to be obedient, to be doers of the word, not hearers only. If we're not careful, we'll deceive ourselves. And the Lord sacrificed himself, and we ought to sacrifice ourselves in the work of the Lord. Heavenly minded instead of earthly minded. To set our affections on things, what? That's above. Not on things of the earth, but set our hearts, our minds upon holy and spiritual and heavenly things. Then number four, we must learn to capture the imaginations of our minds. This is interesting. Every one of us have imaginations. When you were a child, I'll guarantee you, you played with imaginary friends. You had imaginary toys. You had things in life that just were not real, but in your mind you could enjoy them, because that's encouraged that a child would be able to express and let his imagination grow, and that's not a bad thing. What is a bad thing is when we become adult, our imaginations carry us away from God. We think about things that are not holy, think about things that are not righteous. Paul says, think on these things that are true, things that are holy, things that are righteous. Think on the things that are right for the Lord, and let our imaginations be on things of God. I like to imagine what heaven would be like. That's working that imagination of the mind. And we know a little bit about it, what the Scripture gives to us, but I doubt we know, we don't know just a very small percentage of how great heaven will be. We have no understanding, and the Lord puts heaven into a view there in Revelation that we can understand, because we visualize colors, we see actions, we see things that he describes, the street of gold, he describes the walls of jasper. Those are things that would make us understand, make us know. And if you want to spiritualize it, that just shows us that heaven is far beyond the very imagination that we have. What does the Scripture say? Eye has not seen, ear hath not heard, neither has it entered into the what? Heart of man. The mind of man. What God has prepared for you and I. We do not know, but it's good to imagine. It's good to have imagination to wonder, what's it going to be like? What's it going to be like to sit around the throne of God? What does God's throne look like? Jesus is seated at the right hand of the throne or the majesty on high. I wonder what it looks like. And all we can do is visualize a few things that the Lord has told us that we can see. I do believe that the street is of gold. I don't think that's just a metaphor. I don't think it's just a saying. I believe the walls are jasper. I believe the stones are there. I believe the beauty of it is there. But he gives it to us that our imagination can go toward that and realize that we don't know what it's like. We don't have any idea what heaven will be. Thank God for the imagination. But we must learn to capture our imaginations. We must learn that the devil also wants us to imagine. The devil also has us to dream. The devil always also has us to see things that are not holy and not righteous. And he can paint a good picture of it. And he can paint a beautiful picture of the destruction that he does not show you. That's the imaginations of the heart. But if we'll renew our imagination, if we will capture that imagination, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5 says, casting down what? Imaginations. So it's not something we just talk about. It's something in the Scripture. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. And so there are imaginations out there that are against God. And Paul tells us and told the Corinthians, cast them down. What's he doing? To capture those, do away with them. And he's saying that we should bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Imaginations are just our thoughts. It's just the thoughts that we have. And Paul says here we cast down those imaginations of those things that exalt itself above God or above the knowledge of God, and then says bring into captivity. That means to capture every thought to the obedience of Christ. Every thought captured. Every thought, every imagination, every heart is to be given over to the Lord. What does the Bible say in Genesis chapter 6? That every imagination of their hearts were all evil continually. And this world's imaginations are on evil continually. The biggest money-making things in the world are very, very ungodly. And that's the imaginations that the world has. They think we can do this. They desire to have that. And the Lord tells us that we're to bring into captivity every thought. Number five, learn to quench the fiery darts of the devil. He's going to fight you. He will come at you. If he hasn't come at you today, he will tomorrow. And if he doesn't do it by noon, get ready, by 6 o'clock, he will have come after you every day. And so it's a daily process of fighting the battle of the Lord. Paul says in Ephesians 6, above all, taking the shield of faith, whereas you be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And you know where the darts, many of them, are aimed at us? In our minds. That every imagination, we are bombarded with carnal thoughts. We are bombarded with wickedness by eye gate, ear gate, every way that we can take it in, it's available to us. And so therefore, we're to have the shield of faith to ward off those fiery darts of the wicked one. And then we need to arm our minds against hardships. Not everything in the work of the Lord is easy. There are some things that are very, very difficult. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1. Peter says, "For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the what? Same mind." Peter says, arm yourself the same mind that Christ had. He suffered for us in the flesh. So he's telling us that our flesh, we're going to suffer. And he says, "For that that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin." This world we live in is very, very hard. It's very difficult. And it's a continual problem, a continual process of trying to live for the Lord. The battle that we have looked at tonight is an old battle. It started back in the Garden of Eden. And it continues even to tonight. The battle between righteousness and unrighteousness. The battle between obeying God and disobeying God. The battle between right and wrong. And it's always there. And the only way we will ever be able to win those battles in our life, I'm not talking about salvation, I'm talking about just daily walk with God. Paul calls it our daily conversation. He tells us that in order to do that, we must renew our minds. We must have a continual process of keeping our hearts, our minds stayed upon the Word of God. The battle is real. The battle rages. The darts are thrown by Satan. The wickedness is before us everywhere you look. All you got to do is go to Walmart. You don't have to watch the TV. We used to talk about all the filth on TV. Just go to Walmart. You'll see it and hear it everywhere you go. I was somewhere the other day while we were gone, and some guy was talking, and just out of the blue, just some ungodly word and things that he said. And I thought, my, he doesn't even think about it. You know why? His mind is darkened. You know why I thought about it? You know why it brought attention in my heart and my mind? Because my view is different. As a child of God, we hear, we say, we respond differently to the things of the world. Lastly, Romans chapter 7, verse 21 through verse 25. Paul says, "I find then a law that I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but in the flesh, the law of sin. Paul tells us there in Romans chapter 7, the battle rages. He said, when I want to do good, evil is all around me. And he said, when I want to do right, if I delight in the law of God, I delight in the inward man, but I see other things working in my members. Parts of our flesh, parts of our body, parts of our lives do not want to conform to the things of the Lord. And he says, and if Paul would say this, how true we ought to be able to say this, O wretched man that I am. When Paul looked at his response to the pressures of the life, when Paul saw how he wanted to his mind to be upon the Lord, but yet he saw in his members other things working against God, he said, what a wretched man I am. You know what he's saying there? He said, I'm still having the battle between that old man and the new man. And we have that battle every day of our life. You fight it today, you go home and you rest, say, boy, I'm glad that's over. You wake up in the morning, guess what? It starts all over again. And we must renew our mind in the life that the Lord has given us. So then, Paul says, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. It's a mind issue. I've mentioned this book a number of times. I used to have it. Probably some well-meaning preacher borrowed it, and I don't have it anymore. It's a book called The Battle for the Mind. It's an old book, but how true it is, by Tim LaHaye. And there is a battle that goes on for the thought processes of the child of God. And may we fight that battle. And the only way we do it is it's a spiritual battle, and we must do a spiritual renewing of our minds daily in order to serve Him. Let's stand together tonight and pray for each other throughout the week.